I'm going to trust that was good singing and good job. We're in part three of our Rooted series, looking at what does it mean to really be, you know, really what this is what does it mean to be a Christian in the biblical rather than the cultural sense of the word? What does it mean to be connected to God? And in part one, we talked about the fact that God is the creator and sustainer, that God created the world and it was good, and that he created us, and that even now, as creation is broken and cursed, as we talked about last week, that still God is holding all things together, and that he, the Bible says, in him things hold together and have their being. And we move away from him, and in last week in part two, broken and cursed, we looked at how man wants to do it, his own thing. We want to do our own thing. One of the things now that as governments have you know, asked us or told us in varying degrees to stay home and to not do things, we're chafing at that, saying, you know, nobody should be able to tell us what to do because we like to go our own way. And the problem is we do that with not just governmental authority. We do that with God, where we say, nobody should be able to tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever I want, whatever feels good for me. And then sometimes the consequences of that is it takes us away from the creator because we're busy focusing on ourselves, the creation. And the further we move away from him, the more we begin to run the risk and the very real reality of falling apart. And not right away, but things start falling apart because we're moving away from the creator and sustainer. And so that's what we talked about the first 2 weeks. And so now this week, what does it mean to, instead of moving away, what does it mean to be in him, and what happens in that space between being away from him and being in him or coming to him? So before we dive into our scripture, let's just have a word of prayer together. Good morning, Father. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to together to read your word, to study your word, to see what you have to tell us, and allow your Holy Spirit to then speak through your living word into our hearts to convict us, to change us, to transform us, to shape us and mold us, if we will allow you to, if we will surrender our definitions and our structures so that we allow you to change us and allow you to shape us and mold us. And so be with us as we study your word this morning, and may it be useful and encouraging and challenging to us. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And if you've been around church or the Bible for a while, then this may be a very familiar passage to you. It's the parable of the sower, and we're going to read Matthew 13. Let me put it up on the screen for you here. Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9, and then we're going to jump down to verses 18 through 23, because that is where Jesus explains the parable and spells out what he means. All right, so let's start with Matthew 13, 3 through 9. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell in the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depths of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then skipping down to verse 18 through 23, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, This is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So again, some of us, this is kind of familiar territory, but I want to just unpack it briefly. Excuse me. and look and just make sure we understand what we've just read. So the first one, and this is why I did the children's message, so you've already had a visual depiction of this. And I actually did the road twice with on the hot top and then on the gravel driveway. But in either case, the ground is hard. The ground is packed. And so the seed doesn't stick. It just lays there on the surface, and then it goes away. It's taken away. He doesn't remember it, doesn't stick. The second one is the seed on shallow ground. And this is the idea that it's basically reading another translation that really tries to be very, very literal. It said, dirt over gravel. Dirt over gravel. And because the energy as the plant begins, it it puts down a little bit of root, but it quickly can't go very far. And so it actually seems to grow faster because it sprouts up faster because the energy didn't go into a root system. And so he says it springs right up, and there's quick growth, a quick initial response. But the problem is there's no firm, deep root that really can sustain this plant. And so then it says the sun comes out, and then the plant can't sustain itself, and it withers. And then we saw that he said this sun has to do with affliction or persecution. When the heat is on, the heat is on. The third one, seeds in the weeds. And Jesus said, now this is, wealthful. I typed this far too late last night. Wealthful. Worry or wealth. That the thorns, this is other stuff that grows up with it. In other words, you got something more going on. So yeah, I've heard Jesus, I read his word, I got that, but I've also got all this other stuff that is stealing the focus away. Just like thorns and all that, they overshadow what should be the most important main thing. And then the last one is the good soil. And in the good soil, what does the seed do? It makes more seeds. There's reproduction. It doesn't just produce some good leaves. It doesn't just, now you've got a nice plant that grows. It actually creates the beginning of more plants. It reproduces, and this is important. So let's apply this and think about, and I think, again, this series was designed before we knew that we would be doing this from home and that we would be in these times. I didn't know what was going to happen when I planned this series. But I think it applies really well. So the first question is, are you tough soil? And there might be some of you who are watching this morning who are connecting because you're, somebody sent you the link because somebody said, hey, you should watch this. And, you're stuck at home and you're interested and maybe you're worried or concerned or whatever. But you've never really been a God type person. You and God, you may believe in him in a general sense. You probably see yourself as a generally good person. But you might be what we'd call here, what Jesus would call here, tough soil. In that you hear it and you go, oh, yeah, that's good stuff. But it just kind of lays there on the surface and it doesn't stick around. By 2 o'clock this afternoon, you just say, yeah, it was nice this morning. But nothing happened. Nothing changed beyond, oh, that was a good thought. Okay. But maybe you're tough soil. And so, because remember the seed, you're not the seed, you're the soil. The seed is God's word. It's what Jesus says to you. It's what God tries to communicate to you. and it just bounces off. Are you the tough soil? Or are you the shallow soil? You have interest, but no depth. And I think a lot of times it's easy to fall into this, and this one is very easy to be fooled by, because there is a reaction, and the reaction is actually, it actually seems bigger than others. It grows faster than the others. It springs up, the Bible says. You know, so it's not just, oh, well, something good happened. It's, wow, this person, this is the type of person that sometimes as pastors and church leaders, we get more excited about because they seem to be reacting more. And yet Jesus is like going, don't. See, the problem is, yeah, there's a great initial growth, but it's not going to stand the test of time. And this applies to a lot of people who come to faith and church when it fits into their schedule and when it's convenient. But when things get tough, when you face hard times, things that are less important to you will be the first to go. So think about it. Even back when we could go to church, back when we could go to church. I mean, this is church because it's us together. But back when you could come to the building and we could have a worship service together, if you're the type of person that after a really stressful week, you just need personal time and you take it out of your time of being with God in the body, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying that if that's a consistent thing, that stress and hard things cause you to say, well, I need to focus on other stuff right now, then you might be the shallow soil. Because what it was is soil with gravel underneath it. So the root doesn't go deep. And so you have moments of joy, but there's no follow through. Because once the heat comes, all that excitement and all that joy withers away. And before we go on to the next one, let's just say that heat, we know, we talked about the sun, that the sun is affliction and persecution. Right now, we're in the hot zone. And it may get hotter. And I'm not just talking about that things might get worse with the virus. I'm talking about the fact that we might even find ourselves down the road more targeted by persecution. And as these things happen, do you start to wither? And you say, well, what does it mean to wither? Defending against withering doesn't mean that you become more combative. It doesn't mean that you post more angry memes. The whole point, withering, you know what's the first thing that's going to wither? The fruit of God's in your life? Well, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. The first one being love. And so when that heat comes, do you find yourself being less loving and angrier? That's a wither. What's the second fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. You having trouble sleeping and you're down a lot because you haven't had joy? That's withering. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Self-control. That's a sign that your root is sustaining you when it's hot out. And a lot of Christians, people who have called themselves Christians, who were the first ones through the door, are experiencing withering because it's hot right now and they're mad. How about you? Are you shallow soil? Are you withering right now? Your love is not so loving. Your peace, you're not sleeping. You're anxious. You say, well, I've got good reason to be. The sun is hot. Yes. Yes. But if you say, I have good reason to wither, then that's telling you where your root is or where your root isn't. Well, that all this relates to the third one. Are you in the weeds? This is a little bit different. Here you do have the root. The problem is that there's a lot of other things rooted in you too. Because remember, you're the soil. The word grows in you. And here the word does have root. It did get into you. But a lot of other things are gotten into you too. And so maybe what's choking you out isn't that you don't have a root. Maybe what's choking you out is you've just got a lot of other roots too. A root of bitterness. Roots of worry. Worry your money. If you look at the polls and you look at your social media feed, you're going to see two primary things going on in our culture right now. Worry over the virus or concern over money. And the two sides are fighting over which is the one that we should be more scared of. And both of them are weeds. Because should we be wise in both areas? Yes, you should be wise. We should be wise economically, and we should be wise on our physical health. We should make good choices as regards to keeping ourselves healthy during a pandemic. We should also make good choices as far as trying to be healthy economically. Both of these things are things that the Bible says are important and should be wise. Both of these things are things the Bible says that you shouldn't be worrying over and fussing over and having these things compete with your connection to the Word of God and to God Himself. So are you in the weeds? Here's an interesting challenge if you're active on social media. And I bring up social media a lot because a lot of people are on it. And if you're not, you're happier for it. Praise the Lord. If you are, here's a fun experiment just for you. But go through whatever social media you're on and take your notebook and do a little tally about what each post says. Is it mocking someone or holding someone up to mockery or saying, look how bad this person is? Is it expressing anger? Is it expressing grace and love? And does it point people towards Jesus? And then look at your numbers and see what's the biggest thing that comes out of you. And that will begin to tell you whether you've got a lot of weeds or might help you see it. But even if you, even if you've been wise enough to just stay off of social media, what do you find yourself talking about? What do you find yourself thinking about when you're laying in bed at night? Are you fretting? Are you at peace? Are you worried and choked out? The last one is making more seeds. Spreading the gospel, or as we say here, making disciples. Because we live in a time when, boy, the need for this, it's always been great. I would say it's greater now, but maybe that's underestimating that how great it was before. This is a huge need. And this is what we've been called to do. This is command number one from God, right? Go make disciples of all nations. This is God's heart. So if God's heart has taken root in you, this will be you. Spreading the gospel, making disciples, trying to plant the word in others. But you can't plant it if you're not producing it and spreading it. So are you more worried about things here? If you want to worry about things here, now's the time to do it. There's plenty to worry about, right? But is your greatest concern that you would bear much fruit? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and you will produce much fruit. And here in the parable of the sower, he says, you know, if your soil is broken up, So my challenge to you today is to see today as your spring. It was great to go out yesterday and shoot the children's message outside and have some fun. I love all the four seasons, or the six seasons with mud season and second winter and all that, but I love spring after winter's over, when I'm got done with winter. Excuse me. And to be able to get out and see things starting to green up, and we're going to be getting the garden ready, and it's an exciting time because it is really a great natural expression of life coming out of death. And I would encourage you today to see this as your spring. And as I mentioned in the children's message, you might need to break up your ground a little, because maybe you're the hard soil or the shallow soil, or maybe there's been some weeds start to take root and you need to till them up too. But to really, between you and God, say, what kind of soil is my heart being revealed as? And that's why I wanted to start with, Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power. Come and dwell in me. Come break up the hard chunks and the tough places and the rocks that impede God producing fruit in me. So let this be your spring. And worry less about things here. And allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to dwell in you.